Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 21, and we're going to study verse 31 again. It's the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And last week when we preached on this particular verse of Scripture, we looked at a number of cross-references in the Bible concerning why we need to look to the Lord for safety as opposed to the horse or the weapon. And in reviewing some of the things in the Bible, I was reminded about 2 Chronicles chapter 20. As a matter of fact, we were studying last week, and I came across that chapter in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And, you know, it is one of the finest passages that will show you the safety of the Lord. It's better than any event in history, and it demonstrates as one passage, as well as any in the Bible, exactly how the safety of the Lord is procured and how it's manifested in the life of an individual or in the life of a country. So our text today is Proverbs 21:31 again. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Now, with that text, safety is of the Lord. And notice it is juxtaposed against the other part of the proverb. In other words, a lot of people are going to trust that horse. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. In other words, you can have all the horses you want to, but you're going to have to get the Lord on your side or you're going to be in trouble. Because if he's not on your side, you can be the most well-equipped army in the world, you're going to lose. You may be the least well-equipped army in the world and have the Lord on your side, and nobody can stop you. You'll be invincible as long as the Lord is on your side. Now, with that said, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and look at this particular passage of Scripture. Now, we're going to look at not all of the chapter, but much of it. And this particular passage demonstrates as well as any passage or event in history that in fact safety is of the Lord. And we should endeavor to follow exactly what Jehoshaphat does in this chapter, not only individually, but as a country. But the trouble is that in this country, we're getting further from the Lord, and it is suddenly unconstitutional to do some of the things that are in this chapter. So the question is, how are we ever going to get safety? How are we ever going to have safety from the Lord if that's where it comes from? Well, we'll comment on it as far as the country is concerned, but we'll learn from it for ourselves and apply these things in situations that we deal with individually. In any situation where you are fending off an attack, you need to do these six things that are in this chapter. Number one, all right, if safety is of the Lord, and it is, then in any situation where you're fending off an attack and you need safety from the Lord, number one, you need to set yourself to seek the Lord. That's what you need to set yourself to seek the Lord. And you see, as I said, some of these things are becoming unconstitutional. I don't really think that it's unconstitutional so much for our government to set themselves to seek the Lord. But the trouble is, which God, which Lord are they going to seek? Because we've sort of adopted anybody's God as an okay God. And when we're trying to do these non-religious religious wars, nobody wants to offend Allah, but Allah and the Lord are not the same God. Here, you've got to set yourself to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, look at verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Jedi. Number one, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You see that? He set himself to seek the Lord. Now, what is that? You know, Jehoshaphat did not go immediately and muster the army. He did not get with his Secretary of State and his diplomats to determine whether there was some way that they could send an ambassage to try to negotiate peaceful terms. He didn't go and check the amount of ammunition and ordnance. He didn't check the monetary supplies and his treaties with other nations to see who he could get to help him. The very first thing he did when his intelligence gave him a report that he was getting ready to be attacked by three or four different groups, he sought the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. Number one, right off the top of the bat. It's been said, I suppose it's true, that when the announcement came to Douglas MacArthur that Pearl Harbor had been attacked, the very first thing he did is that he read his Bible for 15 minutes, because that was his custom for the day, and he'd received the call very early. I don't know if that's true, but that's what was reported, and I rather believe it. And I know it's certainly true of other generals that have fought in war. It's been reported particularly of Civil War generals. There are other generals that would have done the same thing that have fought. Some may even be representing our country today. But let me tell you something. If you get into a situation where you're fixing to engage in battle with an enemy, then you need to set yourself to seek the Lord, because you don't know whether the enemy who is attacking you has been sent from the Lord to discipline you, or whether the enemy is attacking from another source to destroy you. I mean, just because it's an enemy that's come into the attack doesn't necessarily mean that the Lord is going to stop the enemy. It may need that he's there. It may need that be that he's there to ruffle your feathers and to get you straightened out with God. And then once you're right with God and you're back in humility and fear of the Lord, then he'll ease off the attack. If you've ever read Kings and Chronicles with an eye toward what God is doing with the nation of Israel and Judah, and with what he's doing with the other nations, you're going to find out that there are times when God is orchestrating the battles against Israel and the battles against Judah simply to get the kings to turn back to the Lord. And if that's the case and you set yourself to seek the Lord, you're going to find out while you're praying, humbling yourself before the Lord and fearing God, you're going to find out that God, in fact, is the one that sent the enemy to straighten you out. I've had situations like that personally, and I'm sure you have too, where something bad was beginning to happen, and I thought, man, God, you need to get in here and intervene. And then the more I prayed about it, the more that I realized I deserved what was coming, and that God had actually allowed that to happen, and God wasn't going to respond to my prayers to get rid of that enemy until he had accomplished in my life what he was hoping to accomplish in straightening me out. Once he got me straightened out, then he dealt with the enemy. So if the enemy has come from the Lord to discipline you, then when you set yourself to seek the Lord, you are going to end up in a right relationship with God. And when you do, the enemy's going to go away. And if you don't, he's going to attack and he is going to win. Set yourself to seek the Lord. Once you find out that the enemy has come from another source and he's there to destroy you, then certainly you can depend upon God to give you safety, because safety is of the Lord. That's the first thing you need to do. Second thing is found in verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Man, that is a national revival for the two southern tribes. They're coming out of all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord and to ask help of the Lord. That's the second thing you need to do. First thing, seek the Lord. Set yourself to seek the Lord, because you got to know where you stand with this enemy and where you stand with God. Second thing, ask help of the Lord. The greatest warrior of all time is the Lord. There's nobody that's ever beaten him. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, at his very weakest point, the devil was there to try to ruin redemption. And Jesus Christ didn't cave in under all that pressure and all that agony, carrying our sins and enduring all of the pain of that punishment. He's the greatest warrior of all times. He doesn't lose. He never has. He never will. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. That's Exodus 15, 3. I understand that God is love. Hey, but when it comes to you dealing with an enemy, you don't want your God, from whom your safety comes, playing footsies with somebody that's trying to destroy you. You know, this soft, cotton-stuffed, Jesus doll-type God that most people have in their mind. He's not that all the time. As a matter of fact, he's not that, period. There are times, and certainly this is his nature, that God is a man of war, and he'll destroy just as easily as he'll save. He's never lost. Listen, when Joshua got ready to go, when they actually made it into the Promised Land, and they were now getting ready to go in to destroy Jericho, then Joshua looked up and he saw a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or thou for our adversaries? You know who that was? That was a pre-incarnate vision of the Lord Jesus Christ that had shown up to help Joshua and the Israelites fight their battles in the land of Canaan. You know how I know that? Because he said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And the appearance, the man, did not tell him to get up. If it were an angel, he would have told him to get up, just like the angels told John in the book of Revelation, like Revelation 19:10, for instance. If there was an angel, he said, get up, we're like each other. But when it's the Lord, and he says, take your shoe off from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy, then you're looking at a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus Christ there getting ready to fight. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Then read Acts chapter 7 and read Hebrews, probably chapter 7 as well, where both times when the Jews were entering the Promised Land, it says that Jesus took them in. Now, if you have a modern Bible, it'll say Joshua took them in, and Joshua did. But the King James Bible lets you know who was really there. It was Jesus. He did. He led the armies right there, the captain of the host of the Lord. You see it? Now, you want the captain of the host of the Lord on your side. You want a man of war on your side when you're getting ready to try to defeat an enemy. That's why you got to ask help of the Lord. You're not trying to get him to negotiate peaceful settlement with somebody that's trying to kill you. You want somebody to wipe that group out so that they can't kill you. And that's what he'll do. Now, in this country, when we have to fight enemies, and we have for since the existence of our country, if you want to win the war, you're going to have to ask help of the Lord. And I don't just mean like you say your blessing over your food, if you do. I mean, ask help of the Lord until you know God is on your side and get right with God so that he doesn't mind fighting for you. There are a lot of people that ask God to help them right there in the last hour who have no intention of living in a right relationship with God Almighty, and you're wasting your breath. I mean, God may answer, and he has from time to time, but hey, the whole purpose of him delivering you from the enemy is so that you will live in a right relationship with him, love him, glorify him, and please him. You tend to do all those things and ask help of the Lord, you're going to get somewhere with him. And so should this country. I don't believe for a minute that God is pleased in this country with homosexual marriages, with pornography, with child abuse, with sexual misconduct, with thievery. The situation this country's in financially is abhorrent with our political system, where men have to raise money and then have to respond to the lobbyists from whom they've raised the money and from the special interests with whom they've raised the money and give them the things that they want, which may or may not be in the best interest of the country. That's a bad system. And I don't believe the Lord's pleased with a lot of those things, and with us in this country trying to pay homage to other gods now. No, I believe the Lord is happy with his country blessed is that country whose God is the Lord. There, right there. Okay, now, in a situation where you're fending off an attack, you need to, number one, seek the Lord. Number two, you need to ask help of the Lord. And number three, you need to claim his promises. That's what Jehoshaphat did here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. You know what he's doing? He is claiming a promise from the prayer of dedication that Solomon prayed when the temple was dedicated. Now he's reminding the Lord, you said, if when evil cometh, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we turn to this house and we, and in thy presence, then and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you will hear and help us. He's claiming the promise. He knows that God's going to do it because God said he would do it. We have to claim the promises of God in a situation where we're being attacked by an enemy. For instance, one of the promises you have is this: for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now the ingredients, because he said all things work together, the ingredients that go into making all things work together may not be so good, but the outcome is good. And if God can use the attack of an enemy to bring you into something better, then hey, you want to claim that promise, because in the end you want good to come out of the thing. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You want God right there in the battle with you. Matthew 11:28, Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a tremendous promise. When you get into a battle with an enemy, spiritual enemy, physical enemy, whatever it may be, you've got to be able to turn somewhere and have some of the load carried by somebody else. Jesus Christ said, I'll carry the load. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You need that. Now listen, so does this country. A lot of the battles that you fight are spiritual battles, more so than carnal battles with a seen physical enemy. And in those cases, you want to claim the promises of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, where God talks to you about the whole armor of God. You want your head protected, helmet of salvation. You want your breast protected, the breastplate of righteousness. You want your loins protected, and you want to be well armed, the gird your loins with the truth, loins girded about with the truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, in war, you got to be able to move from place to place. You can't have old worn out boots. So the gospel of peace will be your protection on your feet. You need a real good weapon. All right, that's the sword of the Spirit. You need a real good defense. That's the shield of faith. All this stuff is tied to the Word of God. When you do this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, what's going to happen? You are going to be able to stand in the fight. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand. You see that? Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's what you need to be able to do. Keep fighting. Claim his promises. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, for we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Those are his promises. Claim them like Jehoshaphat did. That's how you know you're relying upon the Lord for safety. The fourth thing you need to do, and that this country needs to do, is trust him. Trust him. Verses 12 and 13, Jehoshaphat says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon our military. No. But our eyes are upon our allies. No. But our eyes are upon our wealth. No. But our eyes are upon our security. No. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. When Jehoshaphat came to the Lord and he prayed like that, he said, our eyes are upon thee. He was trusting no one but God. You say, well, that's not such an incredible thing. He had three armies coming against him. Yes, but you have forgotten, since we didn't go through the context, how big Jehoshaphat's army was. His army is in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 12 to 18. Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. He built in Judah castles and cities of store. He had much business in the cities of Judah. Great economy. The men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers of Judah. 300,000. Next to him, 204,000. Next to him, 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin, 200,000. And next to him, 80,000, ready, prepared for war. 80,000, ready, prepared for war. Add all the numbers up. I went through them too quickly for you to do it. 1,160,000 standing troops. Mighty men of valor. Mighty men of valor. That's what the Bible calls them. With an army of 1,160,000, why do you think that he even bothered to approach the Lord and say to him, "We have no might against this company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do"? What do you mean? He was a great military strategist. He had fenced cities. He had provisions. He had captains. He was a tremendous strategist. And yet he said, "Lord, we are helpless without thee." Man, you talk about trust. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, back in our text in verse 15, he said, this is the Lord speaking now through the prophet, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." The Lord will do the fighting for them. He said, "I got 1,160,000 troops. I should get in there." The Lord said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." Man, I am telling you right now, I know of a couple of families that are dealing with some really, really tough situations. They are faced with an enemy. No question about it. Now, whether that enemy was sent to help them get into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, only they know. In which case, when they set themselves to seek the Lord, then that will be the outcome of these problems. Okay? But I know this, asking help of the Lord, claiming his promises, and trusting him fully is better than adding up all the ducks and seeing what they can come up with as far as legal representation and all kinds of clever ways in and out of these things. I mean, all those things need to be done. Don't get me wrong. But man, they are not done at the expense of trusting God. Jehoshaphat, with 1,160,000 troops, said, "I am not going to lean to my military expertise. I'm not going to lean on the power of my military. I'm trusting God." And let me tell you something. That is not something that we are doing in this country. And therefore, we can't count on safety. Because safety is not in your military might. Safety is not in your numbers. Safety is not in your allies. Safety is not in your finances. Safety is of the Lord. We need to know that individually. We need to know that as a country. The fifth thing to do in a battle that rages like this one is, don't be afraid. Verse 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Fear not, nor be dismayed, he says again in verse 17. That don't be afraid. Fear is a sign that you're not trusting. Fear is the absence of faith. Faith is the thing that dispels the fear, not the fear of God, but the fear of the enemy. Listen, when you are afraid of something, then that fear communicates to your enemy, to your adversary, that he's got the victory. Gideon, when he got ready to fight, needed more assurance, and he went down and overheard his enemy talking in the camp about a dream that one of them had, indicating that in fact they had become fearful and that Gideon was going to win the war. He needed that confidence. That gave him an advantage. Rahab the harlot told the two spies, "We're afraid of you. We're afraid of you. There's no way we can win this war." Hey, that gives you the advantage. But if you're afraid, then that gives your enemy the advantage. And that also says, "Lord, I don't believe you. I'm not trusting in you. I don't think it's going to work." Listen. Look. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." You see that? That is claiming his promises. That is trusting him. That's not being afraid. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Let me tell you, the way that we've treated God in this country, it'd be hard for a leader to stand up and say, believe in the Lord your God. They don't want him. So shall ye be established. They don't want him. I want him. You want him. We need to want him. That's where your safety comes from. That's why you need him individually. That's how you're going to count on him. And that's what we need to do in this country. Hey, he hadn't given up on us yet. We ought to turn to him and say, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to ask help of the Lord. I'm going to claim his promises. I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to be afraid. Final thing you need to do when you really are trusting the Lord for safety is you need to worship the Lord. Look what Jehoshaphat did in verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Notice in verse 21, when it got ready to go into battle, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. The singers went out before the army. You always sent your sentries out. You always send your frontal assault out. No, Jehoshaphat said, I'm going to send the singers out in front of the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Then you need to worship the Lord. When you're really trusting him, you need to worship the Lord, and he'll take care of it. And you know something? If you read verses 22 to 25, you'll find out exactly what happened. The children of Ammon and the children of Moab attacked against the children of Mount Seir and destroyed them, and then after they finished destroying them, they turned on each other. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Jehoshaphat and his men never had to raise a sword. God won the battle for them. You know something, my friend? Safety is of the Lord. And in a situation where you're fending off an attack, you need to remember these six things. Seek the Lord. Ask help of the Lord. Claim his promises. Trust him. Don't be afraid. And worship the Lord. If you do, like Jehoshaphat, you will win.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.